that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning to the remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers. We are coming to you live this, well, first day of the new calendar year, January 1st, 2022. And we say Happy New Year. We thank you for joining us this morning. We've got a full crew. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
And all over the country, they're joining us. Paul, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Tim in Nebraska, thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we welcome you, the remnant. We know that there in Montana, you got your computer on, and down in Florida, you're tuning in as well. And points in between, and so we thank you for joining us, and it's a brisk morning here. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll have the phone lines open in a little bit, but as we encourage you, we do our best to do the same thing, and that is to open up with a word of prayer. Whether it's our day or our program, we certainly want to do that. So Jason, would you do that, open us up with a word of prayer?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. And Father, we thank you for this new year that you've given us. And we just ask, Father, that as we continue to just cry out to you in this year, 2022, that we serve you in an awesome way and that you just continue to guide us and direct us. And we pray, Father, that your people just are flourish in 2022. We ask, Father, that they humble themselves, they repent, that they turn from their wicked ways, that they seek you and you first, and that they put you first in their lives in 2022. We pray, Father, that people return to you that have gotten off track and went different directions. And we pray, Father, that you be the desire of their hearts, and Father, and that you grant them the desire of their hearts. And we pray, Father, for 2022 to be a blessing to you and to the remnant across this land. And we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day, and we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning. If you'd like to give us a call, we'd be glad to take your call. And that number, 307-745-5913. And we'll start out with a scripture verse. Hebrews 13:8 reminds us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I think that's good for us all to remember. I think it would be good for more people to realize that, that the God we serve, the living God, the only living God, with which this country is founded upon, that he does not change. And as we step into a new calendar year, that we can remember that we can rely on that. And that is a faith, should be something that increases our faith, that helps us. We see, things happen, especially this last month, that normally don't happen. It's been that way this entire year. But our God that does not change has brought us through it and will continue to. So he's got us started out with some cool weather here at the Radio Ranch. It's a balmy single digit 7 degrees here, and looking across the Front Range from here down to Colorado, of course over to Cheyenne, and out west further, single digits. And that's how it is in the wintertime. We've got a good blanket of snow. Some snow drifts. Got one in front of the back shop that it might be there for a little while. And we're certainly thankful for that. We've been experiencing a drought. And so it's certainly good. And what a blessing to have snow. Saw a report this morning that up in our mountains, we call it Wycola. It's just right up on the Wyoming-Colorado line. But there's a lodge, and I know the people that run that, and they've reported 50 inches of snow in the last 10 days. And that's a good thing. It's much needed. It's, 2 months ago, even at Thanksgiving, we did not have that. And I know when we took a quick trip through the mountains and the week before Thanksgiving, and the mountains were dry. But they have sure had the snow now, so we are certainly thankful for that. Well, guys, anything particular you want to lead off on? I've got several things here to bring up, but I'll sure yield to whoever has something they want to discuss or bring up this morning.
Yeah, Tim, why don't you take it away with some of the stuff that we were talking about earlier?
Well, I think that I guess it would be a Twitter piece, but it was also kind of a podcast type thing. And one of the things that interested me is they're quite concerned about it in the Muslim community today, because they've got millions, their words, not mine, of Muslims converting to Christianity. And the explanation given by the converts is that they're seeing dreams and visions of Jesus, and they're just it's inexplicable, and they can't ignore it. And I think that that's sign, I guess, it's interesting to me that that's going on. It could also be, your mind goes several different ways when you hear those things, but God knows how to work it all out. But I thought that was kind of a unique a unique piece, considering that that was one segment of the population that seemed a lot less likely to happen to a population in the world. So,
yeah, and I thought when you sent me that article and when we were talking about it, I was looking it up, and they said that some of these mosques are down 10 or 20% of attendees as of recently because of the same thing, because that they've lost faith in their. Some of them just tried to cover it up, and I think that they were saying that they've just lost their faith or lost their belief in Muslims, whatever you call their
Islam
religion.
Yeah.
Islam.
Yeah.
And but then there were several things that said that it was because that they had a change of heart and they turned to Christianity. So
I mean, and I thought it was I just think that it's and the other thing that to me that goes along with is that Jason and I were talking about was the fact that we're seeing a rebirth or a reigniting of churches are filling up. People are coming back in. People are looking for Christ, and they're looking toward Christianity. They're looking for, well, let's be honest, they're looking for a miracle. They're looking for miraculous and divine intervention in this mess of a world that's going on out there right now. I mean, they see Christians, they see people around them that have the surety of you know, Christ, their faith, and the results of it when the storm's in the middle of it, and it draws them in. And it's not just the Muslims. I mean, that was just kind of a sidebar to me, but the churches are going huge. And the other thing that ties into that, that will continue to fuel that, is the fact that we're dealing with this homeschool movement is just going ballistic. And I mean, I can't even... the numbers are, you know, 30%, 40%. In some cases, they're double from what they were 2 years ago. I mean, as far as the number of people that are coming in, and it crosses all racial barriers. I mean, it's not just the moms across the United States. There's quite a movement on there about these moms that are mad and are upset and are totally frustrated as far as to what their children are being taught with this critical race theory and you know, white privilege and all this other stuff. And what surprised me as I was reading and looking at some of it was that a lot of them are, there's white moms, there's Latino moms, but the largest segment of people that are pulling their kids out, putting them in home school are black moms. You know, and they're like, you know, they're teaching our children that the one interview I seen, she was like, well, they're teaching our children that they're victims, that, you know, that they're just victims, that they've been victimized by society and everything else. And she said, I don't want my children to learn that. She said, we live in one of the greatest nations with the most opportunity in the world. It's a Christian nation. She goes, I don't want my children to be taught that they're just victims and all that. And so, and there's quite a group of people out there that feel that way. And they've got all these startups on homeschool. They've got all these different companies that they can't keep up. I mean, it's that bad. So there's change coming in this new era. And, you know, God steers that. God, it's all by his design and by his yeas. And I think that when we see that kind of stuff, it's just, it should encourage us. I mean, we, you know, hey, there's things changing around. It's not all doom and gloom. And we read a lot of this. It's gonna swap to God's way, and it's gonna be God's way because he said it's gonna be. So there's an opportunity to learn the new stuff, and it's not new, but to relearn or unlearn the bad stuff and get on the train to where God wants us to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree, and I've seen the same thing. I mean, people that are getting into the homeschooling thing that are just having enough of the public school system is astonishing. I mean, there's people that are just they're done. They're done over the mask mandates. They're done over the so-called mandatory vax, take the jab or go home, or just strictly politics and religion. That they're trying to shove down these children's throat. It's just basically, I'm talking to more and more parents all the time that are just realizing that they're indoctrination bins, and then that's what they're trying to do to their children. And it's communism and socialism is what they're teaching, and critical race theory and all the new garbage that they're trying to pump into that system is people are having enough of it. So praise God, people are waking up and getting away from it. They're realizing that they want to do something different, and these people are they're really our kind of people, and we've got a kindred spirit with them. They get away from that, they start getting into regenerative agriculture. They want to start a garden. They want to get some chickens and a cow and get off the grid. And it's exciting and encouraging to see, for sure.
A young lady I know that's in school, she's at the college level, but she was talking about one of her teachers, and she said, that's really interesting, because I was reading her bio, and she homeschools her kids, and she said she's got chickens, yeah. and she does, then she went down this list, like she likes to garden, and she's got chickens, and she homeschools her kids, and she's like, wow, it kind of sounds like us, and I was like, but praise the Lord, they're popping up all over the place, and this is a college teacher, so that'll leave you scratching your head a little bit. So, but they're there and they're coming out, so praise the Lord.
Amen. Tim, I like how you put it there. They're like you said, they're like us, and we are finding that there's more and more that are out there that are like us. And they really always have been, whether they've suppressed it, whether they've, and when I say like us, believing in the word and wanting to do, just wanting to do their thing and kind of be left alone, and are teaching their children, are training up their children. Just like God said, at that time, he had 7,000 that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. He has his remnant today. And even those that we don't know yet that are out there that are doing, and even if they don't know what they're doing, they are coming out of her, my people. They're following that command. I spoke with a mom earlier this year that did that. They pulled their two children out, her and her husband, and the in-laws pulled their children out as well, and they're all homeschooling together. And that's what I explained to her. I said, that this is part of that come out of her, my people. And it is. And we are seeing more and more of that. And it is crossing racial boundaries. It is. It's not just the white evangelical Christians. You hear that on the media. It's not just those people that are doing it. It is Americans, Christian Americans, that are doing it. Paul?
I think we got to go a little deeper in this, because the law of God is written in our heart. And, we've gone after idolatry. We've trusted the government. We trusted everything that wasn't right, because of the bad theology and all this crap that we've been shoved down our throat, or we accepted. We didn't have to take it. But the law of God, even the Muslim, is in all of creation. You take an animal, it has a will to live. It likes to live. It has eternity. We're built that way. We don't. When you're young, you never think you're going to die. It's just that will to live that's in us. And the Spirit of God is moving across the world is what's going on. The Muslims, all of them, that when you have a false religion, when you come out of it, when I came out of mine, it was devastating at first, but man, that was really, in retrospect, the best thing that ever happened to me, because it's idolatry of some sort. If you have to make excuses for your religion, you got the wrong religion. God's Word needs no excuse. And I think that deep down, this is what's going on. It's bigger than Scriptures for America, but Scripture for America has taken more heat than any other ministry I know. I cannot think of a church I would send anyone to at this point. But God is backing us in a corner, and these preachers are going to have to come around or be removed, whatever happens, because there's three groups of people I despise: preachers number one, lawyers number two, and doctors number three, in that order. But there's always exceptions. You know, you got to keep that in mind. But overall, they're a bad bunch.
I agree. I mean, but I also, just to add to that point too, Paul, I think that, you know, whenever God's word is, you know, it's a dangerous thing if you're an antichrist to open the Bible and read to somebody out of it, because God's word doesn't return void. So whenever you go in someplace like that, and when they start playing around with that, they're playing with fire, you know, because when God calls, that spirit of discernment starts coming out, and people take a look at that. I think that a lot of times we just don't. God works different than we would, you know. And I think I love to see how the progression of the things He does. He definitely plays the long game. I mean, you know. But I was laughing. Another thing is, and I couldn't help but think, just laying stuff out for this morning when I was looking around at my stuff, and one of the things is in Australia right now, Australia is having a major problem with food over there. I mean, they're just, imagine that, right? So we're talking about regenerative agriculture, and in Western Australia, grain sites are closed to farmers who don't produce proof of vaccination. And Australia's bulk grain handler, they're called CBH, they told 3,700 growers they won't be allowed to enter the site to deliver grain after the new year unless they get their vaccination. And they would, you know, that basically locks them out of the market. And they won't accept delivery of massive amounts of grain, even though they have food shortages. And the thing is what we're seeing here is God dismantling this marketplace, this Babylonian marketplace, because, like Peter used to say, Pastor, there's no vacuum. There's no power vacuum. You know, whenever they lock you out or do something like that, God will present another way. And we're seeing people return to know your farmer and to buy it direct. And we're seeing these farmers go, well, there's no reason to do it this way because it's not sustainable, and it's not, you know, it just won't continue that way. So they're looking for other ways, and what do they find? Well, they find the old new, or the new old, whatever it is. But, you know, there's ways to make this stuff happen and to sell it directly and, you know, to eliminate all of these parasites in the middle that are taking money and basically legislating this stuff, you know, right out the back door. I mean, these people, they don't have any authority to do this kind of stuff, but they use their position to leverage people into immorality and destruction. And we're seeing them. This is the beginning of the end for them, you know. I mean, it's like, yeah, you guys are gonna put yourselves right out on the street corner selling pencil. So good luck with that, because God won't let that stand, you know. And that's back to that law in the heart again, you know. So the laborer is worthy of his hire, and you know, you are a caretaker of that land. I mean, you know, you should be a steward, and it's God's land; it's not yours. You, you know. So we're seeing that coming about. It's just the birth pains that are striking as it goes along, And it's interesting to me. I mean, in Japan, they're rationing French fries because they can't get any potatoes. Canada is really doing the same thing. And it's like, well, there you go. There's all kinds of this stuff going on across the world, you know. So I think.
Amen to that. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307 745-5913 if you have a comment or you had a question. And Tim, kind of along the lines of what you mentioned, that we are seeing, even though it's wintertime, we are seeing more and more people that are reaching out locally. I'm hearing from it all over the country, whether it's a local rancher, a local farmer, that people are asking. We have a family here in Laramie that does raw milk, and speaking with them this past week, they are continually getting new customers, people asking for, hey, I just moved to the area, I'm looking for some raw milk, or I heard this from a friend and they're looking, and you see that all over, whether you're raising beef or vegetables in a little more temperate climate. I think that there is, just like we're seeing that homeschool movement grow, and that's catching the attention of the media, and once that once that starts impacting the federal funding for students, and the places see a decrease in federal funding, it'll really be brought out. But we're seeing that on the food side as well, and that's a good thing. It's almost like this, the harder the Antichrist, the left push, and the harder they, the deeper they dig that line, and the wider they dig that line, just like there in Australia. Hey, you have to be vaccinated to come here, to bring the wheat you've grown, the food you've grown, on a large scale, that will convert some people to go and get their shot or whatever it is. What is it when next time they say, well, you have to pluck out your right eye to get in here because we just can't have two-eyed people in here. It's just not the, it's been deemed unsafe, and we have to cut off your thumb as well. And there'll be people lining up to do it. And of course, we read those types of stories in the Word. But the harder they push, you mentioned a void doesn't exist. I think the further that pushes, some of God's people back to Him, and if it creates an underground economy, so be it. If it increases the non-Babylon economy, so be it. God provides. It doesn't always have to be manna from heaven and water from the rock. He can sure do that. But he sure provides his people with the things that the rest of his people have, you might say. And I guess that's what I'm seeing is this, a change. This underground economy, this kind of side economy is growing and growing. Just like that regenerative agriculture is that you mentioned. I'm seeing more and more of regenerative agriculture being, I don't know why I get this Successful Farming magazine, because we certainly don't farm, but I guess it's a free magazine they send out. But they are pushing, and just about every article is having something about that. I don't have the issue in front of me, but I was reading one last week that the latest issue, they talk about a farmer over in Nebraska that they've been doing that. And it great article, and it's growing. And I think that's just one aspect of a returning to a more natural, a more godly way of doing things. And that's a good thing, whether it's homeschooling or growing crops or selling raw milk as a family, as a family enterprise, and that's a good thing. It is.
Well, there was an article that was just recently on in WorldNet Daily and also in Fox, and it says former education chief pull kids out of school before surrendering them to remote learning. And it goes on to say, I'll just read the first little part of it, but this was from the former education secretary, Dr. Bill Bennett. He said to parents should seek other means of schooling before they surrender their children to those demanding a return to remote learning. Children come first, not last, Bennett said Thursday on Fox News Prime Time. They have been a very neglected group over the last couple of years. There is a certain kind of surrender we are not allowed to practice in front of the young, he continued. We cannot surrender ourselves. We cannot surrender our liberty and our freedom. We cannot surrender them. Find the best education you can for your child that you can provide. And, I mean, that goes right along with what we were talking about. But you know, people are encouraging it. You know, I've heard a lot of people that are encouraging it. So, you know, that gives you a lot of hope.
Amen.
Yes, well, you know, we got a guy here in Michigan that's running for governor, and I heard him talk. My daughter had a meeting, and I talked to him for a few minutes. But one thing that he said, this is not a sacrifice for me to do this. He says it's an obligation, and we got to get that through our bony head, like we sacrifice my butt. You know, we have an obligation to spread God's word. You know, you got to bait them. You know, you don't talk to a fool or nothing, but you always got to say something. Either they'll grab or they won't. You know, that sermon I did, Feed My Sheep, when you have a discussion going on about this stuff, when he's changed the subject, he's in mental overload, and you just shut your mouth. And it ain't us that gets this done. It's God. But it's our obligation to bear witness. And it's not a sacrifice. You know, as somebody said, the only thing that bad men to do to thrive is for good men to do nothing. And we, as a nation, have been doing nothing. And our preachers have blow this in Romans 13, do whatever they say and stuff like that, and they've just escalated their power and stuff like that. But people are starting to rebel because it ain't fair. You know, the Bible tells you to teach your children you're rising up and you're going out, laying down, and you're going out and you're coming in. That right there tells you to homeschool. If I'm going to teach you how to do whatever I do, whether it's farming or tree trimming that I used to do, the only way to do it is be with them and show them. And that's the best way. I mean, you know, and that's God's way, you know. And I mean, when the public school started in the East Coast somewhere, they marched the kids at gunpoint to get them into the public schools, but they were doing it then. And look what America was when it started. People ain't got a clue what America was when it started. There were men of faith. You know, 3% of the American people fought in one war against the biggest country in the world, and God fought their battles, what it amounts to. And when you do it God's way, he'll fight our battles. And we don't look at the numbers, and we don't be intimidated by these people. You know, oh, what are they going to do? I could care less what they do. The worst thing they have to do to me is kill me, but I'm just about ready to kill them instead of me. So it's time to get a little fire in our blood and start pushing back. And there's a talented way to do it. You don't have to be obnoxious, but a question. Anytime Jesus was put in the corner, he asked a question. You ask questions. See, because they got this thing in their heart, just like these Muslims come out of that false religion. They've got this in their heart, and it's from God. And the thing of it is, they're being oppressed continuously, and they're seeing it, and they're going nowhere. And that's the shoes that America's in today. We're going nowhere. But on the other hand, we are being purified, so it's a good thing.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I agree 100%.
That's what the word tells us, that these trials and tribulations and the things that we go through, that's what they're doing. They are for purification. They are for establishing and preparing us. That's how our God works, preparing his people. You know, bringing some to repentance, some that have already gone there, bringing them to discipline, to endurance, to thankfulness, many things like that. You know, we are going into the new year in our homes with our families, and what a blessing that is. There are Thursday, 2 days ago, had the most destructive fire in Colorado history. Had a huge grass fire flared up on Thursday, and the latest results, over 1,600 acres, maybe 1,000 homes burned and destroyed. Originally, they thought it was about 600, saw an update this morning, and 35,000 people evacuated. The towns of Louisville, Colorado, about 21,000, and the little town of Superior, about 13,000, basically this thing just ripped up 105 mile an hour winds, and Thursday after lunch just started ripping through these communities, and you know, you can't stand up physically in 100 mile an hour wind, and it the pictures are just devastating. They are. 30,000 people evacuated. Maybe 100,000 or 100,000 homes, entire subdivisions, entire communities. One quote I saw was, it said it was moving a length of a football field in seconds. That's 100 yards. I mean, you certainly can't outrun that. Denver International Airport came to a ground stop. They ordered a ground stop when all this was going on. It was the wind was blowing toward the airport, but 105 mile an hour winds, you can't do anything in that. And the updates this morning, maybe two people missing. They have no confirmed fatalities, at least that they've reported on, I think it's another birth pang. You talk about a gracious God to wipe out 1,000 homes in two communities. We call them sister communities. God talks about the sisters quite a bit in the Word. We understand that. But wipe out 1,000 homes and not 1,000 people. You talk about mercy. And a merciful God. And I think that this in itself is a reaching out, an opportunity in these trials, an opportunity to rejoice and to grow closer to God. For those that it's impacted, for those of us that are around and see this, just like the two cities destroyed in Kentucky earlier in December by the tornadoes. Those two little towns were pretty much wiped off the map. It gives those of us on the outside an opportunity to look at that and to be thankful and to pray for them as well. We've got a caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. It's Warren calling. I listened to you about the schools and stuff. I remember when I was in school in Belmira, we had 250... students there roughly, and it kind of reminds me of Abraham with Sodom and Gomorrah. Out of those 250 students, only about six of us carried our Bibles. We had Bible studies, and we actually led some of the other students to the Lord. So I want to pray for our schools that we can go back to that. I doubt that any of them carry their Bible anymore. And I was going to ask you, did you get to listen to that CD that I sent you? What hill are you willing to die on?
Haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but that's on the list, that's for sure.
Oh, it's a good CD. It talks about what's a father and son retreat. And it talks about, the manly men like Pastor Peters talks about. And it's real good at the end of it. The guy's a Baptist. He's not much into baptism, but if you want more copies, you want to share it, I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
God bless you.
All right, Warren. God bless. I think that ties in with what you had said earlier, Paul, that, these things that we do, these things we are supposed to do, we have a duty. We have an obligation. And those things are not a sacrifice. That is just what we should be doing. Being godly men, being godly fathers, having godly families, doing our best to anyway, is our duty, is our obligation. It's not that those works are not what, save us, are not what get us into the kingdom, but it is... It is because of what our Lord and Savior did that we have these duties and obligations.
Well, and Jeremiah says that obedience is better than sacrifice, and he'd rather just have us do what we're supposed to than, so to speak, sacrifice. I don't really know what I sacrifice much because I have, I don't know, I just don't feel that I sacrifice that much. And, you know, I have obligations, but I don't have sacrifices that I need to do. So that's my take on it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, and most of us that are, you know, trying to continue our Christian walk realize fully that we don't. In order for something to be a sacrifice, it has to be yours. You have to give it up. You have to. And if everything I own is God, He gave me everything, then I'm just giving it back to Him. That's not really much of a, to call that a sacrifice is kind of weak. So if it was all His anyways and I'm His, then that's not a sacrifice. It's just a, I like what you said about bringing them in, Paul. And, you know, in Matthew, and Jesus was walking, you know, down there by the sea, and He saw two brothers, you know, Simon Peter and Andrew, and He said, they were fishermen there, and He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They just switched jobs. I mean, they switched their, they went from one kind of fishing to another kind of fishing, you know, and they were like, okay, and they left. But you know, it's all when we're attempting to put that out there, that's what we're doing, is we're just doing the job for our Lord, you know. And it's what we do. If you don't work, you don't eat. And there's different kinds of work. Some's more physical, some's more mental, some's, but it's still a job, you know. And we're working our job. So praise God. You know, I don't, sometimes when you get up in the morning and you're trying to think, figure it out, you realize it's another opportunity to service to God. I mean, so, you know, he's given me another day, another opportunity to do that. And I didn't always think that way, but as you get older, you begin to realize it's true. You know, that's the way it works. So, there we go.
For me, you can't plan your life anyway, because you got to do what's on your plate that day. You know, I'm probably the most disorganized people you've ever seen, but when He puts something on your plate, just do it. And you got to be flexible. But so many people are rigid. I'm going to do this, this, and this. You know, I travel the roads and I see lots of people, and some people have absolutely no time for you, and some people have all the time in the world. And you guys, it's just amazing how the world turns, to be honest with you. but it's your priority. You know, and that comes back to the free will of man. Every man has a free will. You can serve, you know. I kind of think that God knocks on our people at least once, and you can either respond or slam the door in His face, you know. You have to seek Him, and that's the key. All of creation glorified God by its very existence. Man is the only one that can go back and say thank you. And that's all He wants. He don't expect perfection. He knows we can't do it, but we have to try. And that's the free will of man. And God's moving. You know, all of our idolatry is being fallen. You know, the grocery store is not stable no more. Nothing's stable. The school system is teaching our kids to be everything but what they should be. You know, it's very destructive. It needs to be destroyed. We don't need to preserve it. So.
Amen.
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 Well, and it, by its very nature, will destroy itself. I mean, I think that, to me, sometimes that's funny that, you know, we're to be trying to overcome. We're called to be overcomers. Overcome ourselves, overcome God's enemies, and all those things. But God knows that He's going to have to fix it, and He's going to take care of it. But that doesn't negate our job of being in there, you know, in the fight and trying to overcome those things. And He says, all He asks is our best. You know, if you've done your best, then you're a good and faithful servant. That doesn't mean that you necessarily succeeded, but it does mean that, but God takes anything we do and uses it for good, even our failures. You know, I mean, he makes those come out in a way that is profitable to the kingdom and to what he has planned for. So, you know, people, don't be discouraged. I mean, God's on the throne and he's going to make that all work. So just keep on keeping on and keep on trying to do the best and stay in the word and follow the path, you know, and that's what God wants. So
I believe all my heart what you just said. It will destroy itself. I always thought it was my obligation to do it. I'm going to step back and watch it take care of itself because, you know, we can only do what we can do. You know, I've talked to people, you know, we've all been in this fight for a long time, and they're until recently, you've been talking to the winds, you know. The scriptures for America, I mean, everybody hated that, you know, about like a coyote. Everybody hates them. So, but now it might make sense, you know, as our world falls apart, where are we going to turn? And he's going to raise up a new breed of teachers. I know that. They're out there, you know. They're coming. But there's going to be survivors. It's going to take care of itself. We don't even have to worry about that. It's on self-destruct as we speak.
Yeah, everything that the evil ones do is under God's law is incapable of completion or of what they desire. But that doesn't stop them from doing their job either. You know, I mean, they're built for destruction. And
They're fighting for their life too. You can't hold it against them, you know. You know, I was looking on YouTube and that fire in Colorado. I seen it, and they said they need our prayers. You know, and it made me think, God does not hear your prayers if you don't keep this law. And this is the way it is. We get in a bind like this, you know, where you standing there helplessly watch your whole subdivision go away. I mean, and what happened in Kentucky, and this is going on all over the world. I see a video on China or Japan the other day. The snow was so deep the cars couldn't even move. You know, if you get 50 inches of snow out there by where you're talking, Richard, and even the elk and the moose ain't going nowhere.
That's right.
They're stranded.
Well, and we were reading some comments and stuff on social media sites out there on that, because you can get some pretty interesting pictures, you know, live on the ground through there. And what the comments were very interesting, because there were several people on the comments talking about one particular, or whether that was a guy or a lady, it doesn't matter, but they were like, dear Lord, you know, help these people, because we're living out here and there's a whole bunch of people who won't even help you or take you in or do anything. The first words out of their mouth is, well, are you vaccinated? And if not, they just spit at you and leave. You know, I mean, they're like, they don't want to do anything. And there's a lot of outcry about some of that. Like, that doesn't have anything to do with these people who've had the loss and everything. But, you know, we're seeing an awakening. I mean, I think that's what it is. It's an awakening to God's power. But there was an outcry to God in regards to that. There were more than just one there. But I thought it was significant that in the midst of all this, like Richard said, evidently no, I haven't heard about any life lost either, but they evacuated 35,000, 40,000 people out there, at least 1,000 individuals or so lost their homes, and people are they're crying out to their God, you know. So it's a calling, and these evil ones that are out there they're being shown up for what they are too. So God works it all out, you know, to his plan and his purpose.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, the wheels are spinning, the gears are grinding. The you know, God's work is being done. It is. You know, when you and people realize it. You know, when you go from they talking about there in Colorado, they've been in a severe drought, and they go from the most destructive fire in Colorado history to 2 days later. The most snowfall of the last, like, in one given time of the last five seasons. These you know, these extreme swings, like you've mentioned, Paul. And we've been talking about this all year, folks, as we've seen this all over the country. In December, you know, massive storm cells and tornadoes in the middle of December, in the middle of the country, that's just not, it's just not the norm. And we mentioned it before, that storm cell, that reached from the Gulf of Mexico up to the Great Lakes. And these things that we're seeing, they are the birth pangs. They are changes. They, you know, we are seeing changes. It's not just like yesterday anymore. It just isn't. And that is, it sure seems like throughout our history that it's things like that 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 are needed to wake up the stiff-necked like we are, the hard-headed like we are, and to bring them out of Babylon, to drive them to repentance. There are some that of those 1,000 homes that have been lost. You know that there's some that are just you know, have no clue why, or they just go on their day and it's just, well, just do something else, build somewhere else, rebuild. It's no big deal. They don't think twice about it. But I know that there are those that are thankful to God that there are fathers there that are thankful that them and their wife and their children got out alive. And they might have just gotten out and just with what they had on their back, get in the car and leave, and every physical thing they had wiped out. And there are some that are thankful that this will, like you said, Tim, God works all things for good for those that love him, that there are going to be some that are just so thankful that they got out with their life, and will draw nearer to him, will be thankful, will repent and return to him. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. And there will be others that didn't impact directly, that will realize that there, but by the grace of God, go us. And that it certainly could have happened in their neighborhood and in their town and their community. And it will draw them nearer as well. And that's a good thing. That is a needed thing in this, in the times that we're in.
Well, and one of the things that they're not talking about too, and I'm pretty confident that what's going to come out if they decide to put it out, but that was a terrorist attack down there with what started those fires. Just all the initial reports and the reports of how it started. You know, multiple fires started on the same highway that were, you know, some distance apart, same time, flares up, winds blowing, all that kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, just recently with what happened with this truck driver, there's this truck driver that was sentenced recently to 110, 120 years in prison, this Arab terrorist bastard who basically, the way that I look at it, the way that I see it, was a terrorist attack. I mean, he knew his truck brakes weren't working. He passed all the truck runaway ramps. He was exceeding in speed. He had several chances to stop the truck and didn't, and killed four people, caused the deadliest car crash in Colorado state history, and killed several people, injured several people, shut the interstate down, and was sentenced. And you know, then you get these truck drivers that are out there across the country and coming into Colorado that boycott it because they said that it's not his fault and he shouldn't have to pay. So after the trucks shut down and quit driving in Colorado, then the governor reduces the sentence down to 10 years, and people are still upset that he even has to serve 10 years. Well, he should have got the death penalty is what he should have gotten. And, you know, but people don't like to hear that nowadays. So I think it's kind of an interesting coincidence because that whole fire situation, God had his hand in it, and I mean, it could have been put out whether it was started by a terrorist or whether it was started by lightning strikes. It was God had his hand on it and controlled that fire from the beginning to the end. And it's just an interesting thing that, you know, it just pricks you in the back of your head, and it's like, is this just, you know, the wrath of God saying, don't mock me? And the first scripture that came to my mind when I was watching this was, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's found in Galatians. And I think there's going to be more coming out on that, but it was definitely interesting.
Yeah, I think Boulder got a big heads up out of that deal if they bothered paying any attention to it. So, and I was looking at the map on it there, and it was right in their backyard.
Oh, so, absolutely. And that's the most liberal place in the state.
Yep, that's where I was going.
Sorry, didn't mean
that. Well, we only got a few minutes left, but I wanted to give people, just tell people to, you know, I know that there's a lot of people that are fighting a lot of depression, and they're not smiling at the future, and they're upset, and, you know, everybody that I've talked to is like, well, they just couldn't wait for 2021 to be over. Well, you know, it's just a number on a calendar. That's all it is. And but attitude goes a long way. And just want to encourage people to have a good attitude, smile at the future. And a scripture that I ran across that I think is encouraging, and I want people to focus on it going into the new year, is Isaiah 43:18-19. It says, do not call to mind the former things or consider things of the past. Behold, I am going to do something new. Now it will spring up. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And if you read that whole chapter of Isaiah 43, I think you can apply it to your life. And it's a scripture of hope and smiling at the future. And just want to encourage people to have a really awesome, make up your mind to have a good 2022. That, you know, that you're going to smile at the future, that you're going to have a good attitude. Though weary, press on. And don't be weary. Smile at the future. Find new things. Get into the Word of God. Better yourself. Make New Year's resolutions that for you and your family, things that you want to accomplish and that you want to get done. And make it happen. Be active. You know, speak your mind. Spread good news. Be a light into a dark world. And, you know, get out there and, you know, I want to get out there and I want to kick ass in 2022. And you know, we got to have an attitude. We got to fight. We got to press on, and we got to make it happen.
Well said.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, we are out of time, and want to remind you, we'll invite you to church tomorrow. ScripturesForAmerica.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. ScripturesForAmerica.org. We'll see you there.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our...